I'd like for you to open your Bibles this morning to the book of Hebrews. I have prayed earnestly today that God would give me a good, strong, solid, plain gospel message. One that would sum up the way of life, the pardon of sin, the forgiveness of transgressions, redemption as it is in Christ Jesus, that I might present to this television audience the way of life made plain. And I believe I have that message, and I want you to listen. I want you to listen as carefully and prayerfully as you can as I speak to you on this subject. Now, here's the subject. He hath appeared to put away sin. He hath appeared to put away sin. I'm reading from Hebrews 9, verse 26. Now, I'll be using several verses from Hebrews 9, so just open your Bibles and follow along with me as I preach on this subject today. He hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. That's what the scripture said. Now, I encourage you, listen as far eternity. Someone said everything that we do and hear and say ought to be done in the light of death, judgment, and eternity. For those are three engagements we'll all keep. It's appointed unto men once to die, after that, the judgment, and then eternity. And my theme today, I believe, is the greatest theme of all ages, the appearance of Jesus Christ on this earth to put away sin. Moses wrote about it. Moses wrote about it. Our Lord said that Moses wrote of me. When did he write about Christ? Well, I'll tell you one time. There were several times, but one time he said this: God will raise up a prophet from the midst of thee, from Israel, from among your brethren. Unto him shall ye hearken. And all the way down through the years, they would ask this question: is that person that prophet? Is this man that prophet? Is this one that prophet? You remember the woman at the well asked him if he was that prophet. They asked John the Baptist if he were that prophet. So Moses looked for the coming of Jesus Christ to stand on this earth. Job wrote about it. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he will stand on this earth. And I shall see him myself with these eyes. I shall behold my Redeemer standing on this earth. Abraham saw Christ's day. Our Lord said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, the day of his coming, the day of his appearance. He saw it and was glad. Jacob, when Jacob gathered his sons about him to bless these 12 boys, you know what he said to Judah? That's the kingly tribe. That's the tribe from which Christ came. That was David's tribe. He said to Judah, he said, the scepter shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh, the king of peace, the prince of peace, shall come. And then Simeon, the old man who waited in the temple for the consolation of Israel, the Holy Ghost had appeared to him and taught him that he would not see death till he had seen that prophet, till he had seen Shiloh, till he had seen the Christ, till he had seen the one whom God would send. And when Mary and Joseph brought the child Jesus into the temple to do for him according to the law, Simeon took the child up in his arms, and then he said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to your word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Moses said, that prophet will come. Job said, my Redeemer will stand on this earth. Jacob said, Shiloh will come, and the scepter shall not depart from Judah until he comes. Well, that prophet has come. The father said, this is my son, hear ye him. The Redeemer has come to Israel. Shiloh has appeared. The consolation of Israel has stood on this earth, and his mission in coming was to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. His task, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Paul wrote, this is a true saying, and it's worthy of acceptation by every man, that Jesus Christ is come into this world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. And his task was to reconcile us unto God. God hath reconciled us to himself in the body and in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when the Apostle Paul writes about this visitation of God to the earth, this coming of that prophet, this coming of the Redeemer, this coming of Shiloh, he speaks, now watch this, he speaks of three appearances of Christ. Now this is so important, this is so vital to your spiritual well-being, to your spiritual welfare. There are actually three appearances of Christ. In the redemption of his people, the Lord Jesus Christ is said to appear three times. Now I want you to watch it. Let's read Hebrews 9. You have your Bible there. Follow along with me. Hebrews 9:26. It says, now once in the end of the world, or in the latter days, in the last times, hath Christ appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now look at verse 24. Christ is entered not into the holy place made with hands, which is but a figure of the true, a picture, a symbol of the true. But Christ is entered into heaven itself, listen, there now to appear in the presence of God for us. You have two appearances there. He hath appeared on this earth to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now it says, Christ is entered into heaven, not into the tabernacle or the temple or the synagogue, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Now look at verse 28. Unto them who look for him shall he appear the second time. Unto them that look for him, unto them who expect him, unto them who love him, unto them to whom he is vital and important, he will appear again. The second time, without sin, unto salvation. Now, I know this. I'm wise enough to know this, that no man can do justice to this theme in one sermon. This calls for many, many sermons. But I want to do my best. This is a grand theme. It covers almost every aspect of our Lord's redemptive work. I want to do what I can with these three appearances to help you to understand God's redemption of sinners. It's in Christ. It's in the person of Christ. Everything that God has for a sinner is in Christ. It's not in the ordinances, not in the law, not in the church, not in the organizations, not in the preachers or priests. Everything that the living God has for a sinner is in Jesus Christ. And in these three appearances. Now let's look at the first one. Look at verse 26 again. It says, he hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. What would you say is the greatest miracle of all ages? I'm talking about from the time the universe began until the universe ends. What do you think in all of time, in all of eternity, what would you say is the greatest, most astonishing, most astounding miracle that has ever occurred? What would you say? Well, somebody would say, well, I believe creation. The scripture says God spake everything out of nothing. The worlds were created by the word of God. He said, let there be light, and there was light. A sun and a moon and stars. He said, let the dry land appear, and the dry land appeared and was separated from the seas and the trees. And then God made man in his own image. That's miraculous, astonishing, astounding. I agree with you. I believe it too. God created all things according to his will for his glory. That's a great miracle. Somebody else says, well, what about providence? In him we live and move and have our being. In him all things consist. He controls all things. By his providence, he works his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of this earth. Every star moves in its prescribed course and along its prescribed path by the hand of God. Every bird, not a bird falls to the ground without your Father. Every hair in your head is numbered. God's all-wise, eternal, almighty providence over even the specks of dust in the sun ray. I say that's an astonishing, astounding miracle. You say, what about resurrection? One of these days, God is going to raise the dead. People have died thousands of years ago. There's just nothing left. They've been buried and their graves dug up, and the wind has blown all of the substance or matter. It's been scattered all over the desert, and people have been buried at sea, and fish have eaten their bodies, and they've died in the desert, and the birds and the animals have eaten not only their skin and flesh, but their bones. Where are they? Scattered to the four winds. But God says He's going to bring those bodies back. The sea will give up the dead in it. Death and hell will give up the dead which are in them. And every man shall stand before the throne of God Almighty. That'll be a day, won't it? That'll be a miracle. That'll be an astounding, astonishing miracle. But I'd say take every bit of that, and none of it is as great a miracle as this. Listen to me. God Almighty became a man. If you talked about an angel becoming a caterpillar, that wouldn't be as miraculous as God becoming a man. The highest was made lower than the angels. The highest came down here and was made in the likeness of human flesh. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. The eternal, invisible God became a man, clothed in human flesh. The Creator, watch it now, became a creature. He who made woman was made of a woman. That's astonishing. That's astounding. The Ancient of Days. He cannot be the heaven of heavens cannot contain Him. The earth is His footstool. You couldn't build a house big enough for Him. The universe is in Him. He's not in the universe. It's in Him. And yet, for 33 and a half years, God Almighty was limited to and clothed in human flesh. He appeared. He, capital H, capital E, He appeared to put away sin. Now I ask four questions. First, who appeared? Who appeared on this earth? Who is this carpenter? Who is this so-called son of Joseph? Who is this son of Mary? Who is this one that walks the seashore, who walks the hills of Judea? Who is this? He's none other than God Almighty. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, with us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ is none other than God Almighty. That's right, it said, unto us a child is born, a son is given, and thou shalt call His name Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Who appeared? God clothed Himself in human flesh. You'll find that all the way through the Scripture. Paul, speaking to the elders at Ephesus, he said, feed the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. Unto the Son, the Father said, thy throne, O God, is forever. And He is, in Hebrews chapter, He said He's greater than the angels, greater than Moses, and greater than the house, for He built it. Who appeared? He appeared. How did He appear? In human flesh, born of a woman, made under the law. He said one day, I and my Father are one. And they began to take up stones to stone Him, all these religious people, who incidentally were looking for a Messiah, who were looking for Christ, who were looking for a Redeemer, but they weren't looking for a poor and lowly one. They were looking for a high and mighty one. They weren't looking for one that became flesh and was clothed and made like unto an ordinary person, low, poor and lowly. They were looking for one to sit once again on the throne of David and restore a material kingdom to the Jewish nation. He said, I and my Father are one. They picked up stones to stone Him. And He said, many good works have I done among you. For which of these do you stone me? They said, we got no objections to good works. We're not stoning you for good works. I tell you why we're stoning you. You're a man. And you say you're God. They understood what He was saying. Do you understand what I'm saying? I didn't say He was a representative of God. I didn't say He was a son of God. He's the Son of God. I didn't say He was a special Messiah sent from God. I said what the Scripture says, what Christ said, what the Father said. He is God Almighty. That's important. He's not the God-man. He's not the Savior-man. He couldn't save a flea. If he's not God Almighty, he died for his own sins, and he's still dying for them. And his bones are in Jerusalem in a tomb, and his soul's in hell, because he said, I and the Father are one. No man ever laid claim to that before. Why did he appear? To put away sin. Now, my friend, sin, in case you didn't know it, is difficult to put away. Now, the old Jewish sacrifices wouldn't put it away. That's right. The Jewish sacrifices couldn't do it. It says it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Is that strong enough? Hebrews says 10:4, it's not possible. You see, if sin is put away, it's got to be put away. It's got to be pardoned and put away in a way which is consistent with God's holiness, consistent with God's righteousness. It's got to be in accord with God's justice. In order for sin to be forgiven, God just can't put his tongue in his cheek and say, well, let's just forget it. No, he must punish sin. The soul that sinneth, it must surely die. God will in no wise clear the guilty. He will be just and justified. And sin, if it's put away, has got to be put away in such a way that the law is honored, justice is satisfied, God's holiness is upheld. And the Jewish sacrifices couldn't do that. No amount of suffering will put away sin. Job suffered like no man, but it wouldn't put away his sins. It wouldn't put away his guilt. Death and hell will not put away sin. The rich man in hell, he was in hell, the Scripture says, but his sins were still on him. See, his death didn't put it away, and his existence in hell didn't put it away, and good works won't put it away. Not by works of righteousness which we've done. According to his mercy, he had saved us. Christ appeared. The Son of God appeared to put away sin. How did he put sin away? Well, it says here plainly, by the sacrifice of himself. Not by teaching. I know a lot of people want to talk about Jesus Christ the teacher, Jesus Christ the preacher. Not by healing, Jesus Christ the healer. I believe in miracles. I believe God heals the sick. Well, who else would? God holds life and death. How could you be healed without God? If you heal, God does it. If you do not heal, God permits it. He says, I kill and I make alive. Nobody can die without God. Even if a sparrow can't fall to the ground without God, how could you die without God? So it's not by healing or teaching or miracles or even examples that he put away sin. It says he put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Is that clear? 1 Peter 1:18, we know that we're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from our vain conversation received by tradition from our fathers. How are we redeemed? With the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spots. My friend, two words will sum up the gospel and what I've been talking about, the appearance of Christ to put away sin. The first word is substitution. Jesus Christ literally, actually, took my place. He bore my sins in his body on the tree. He who knew no sin was made sin for us. He was wounded far in the stead of, in the place of, our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid on him. By his stripes we're healed. Substitution. I deserve to die. He died instead. I deserve the wrath of God. He took it instead. I deserve to go to hell. He went there in my stead. That's the only way I can escape. He satisfied the law as my representative. He died as my substitute, sacrifice, sin offering. He enabled God to be just and justified by taking the place of all who believe. That's substitution. Do you know anything about it? The second word is satisfaction. Now, against whom did we sin? Against God. Then who must be satisfied? Not you. I hear people say, I'm satisfied with Jesus. My foot. Who cares whether you're satisfied with Christ or not? It's God who must be satisfied. I am sinned against you. God didn't sin against you. You sinned against God. It's God that must be satisfied. What difference does it make whether you're satisfied with Christ? I got to know whether God's satisfied with him or not. He came down here as a man, tested in all points as we are, tempted, tried, suffered, weary, hungry, walked under the law, died on a cross, was buried and rose again now. Who's satisfied with him? Well, to whom did he offer his sacrifice? To whom did he offer his righteousness? To whom did he offer the sin offering? To whom was he obligated to pay the debt? To God Almighty. Well, is God satisfied? Well, his resurrection says God's satisfied. He'd still be in that grave if the Father wasn't satisfied. He'd still be bound in the tomb. He'd still be in bondage to the sin that he bore. But he came forth out of the tomb, glorified, and ascended back to the Father. The Father said, I'm satisfied. I'll take your payment on behalf of everybody for whom you made it. God's satisfied. So that's the way sin's put away. Once in the end of the world, in the latter days, hath he appeared in the flesh to put away sin. Put it where? Put it away. And not in layaway either. He put it away. He cast it in the depths of the sea. He cast it behind his back. He remembers it no more. He blotted it out. It's put away. It'll never be heard from again. Now, you won't forget it. And unfortunately, your friends won't forget it, but thank God he forgets it. He said, I'll remember their sins no more. He put it away. All right, notice the second appearance. Will you look at verse 24? Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, but into heaven itself. In heaven itself, now, there's a key word, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Now, you go back to the old tabernacle set out there in the wilderness, and the high priest, you know, they had the Holy of Holies and the holy place that was separated with a veil. And you know how they had the different sacrifices. They had the Day of Atonement and the feast days and all the different sacrifices, a lot of sacrifices. But one particular sacrifice, once a year, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would take the blood of a lamb, the sacrificial lamb, the Lamb of Atonement, and he would crawl under that veil into the Holy of Holies, into the most holy place, into the very presence of God. And he would put that blood on the mercy seat. The mercy seat covered an ark of the covenant in which was the broken law, the tables of stone, Moses' Ten Commandments. And that solid gold mercy seat over the top of it with the cherubims looking toward one another, and the Shekinah glory of God appearing right over the top of that mercy seat. And that great high priest once a year would take that blood of the Lamb and he would pour it on that mercy seat as an atonement. Now, that blood couldn't put away sin. It typified and pictured and symbolized the blood of Christ, God's Lamb, that will put away sin. And every time that high priest went into that Holy of Holies, every year, Almighty God looked to the cross. And that's when his Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, would come and enter, not into the holy place made with hands. For when Christ died, that veil was rent in two from the top to the bottom, just torn apart. No more Holy of Holies, no more blood offering, no more Passover, no more sacrifice, no more sin offering. For Christ, by one offering, hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And he went into the presence of the Father. Now watch, as we compare those Old Testament priests, high priests, with our Lord Jesus. Now, there were many of them, only one Christ, one great high priest. And these fellows were just men. He was the God-man. And these fellows offered many sacrifices. He, by one offering, perfected forever them that are sanctified. They offered sacrifices for their sins too, but he had no sin. And they offered the blood of animals. He offered his own blood. They brought the sacrifice into a tabernacle made with hand. He took it into the very presence of the Father. Can you get hold of this? Can you lay hold on this? Those Jewish people stood outside that tabernacle and waited while that human being, that high priest, that son of Levi, went in with the blood of an animal under the veil and put that blood on the mercy seat, and they had some satisfaction that God would look upon them in mercy, that God would look upon them in their sins being atoned for, put away. Now you think, God's own son, not a son of Levi, God's own son, the perfect God-man, not with the blood of an animal, with his own blood, having died on the cross, buried and risen again, went not into the holy place made with hands, not over a common wood and gold mercy seat with tables of stone, but into the Father's own presence, he took his own blood and put it on that mercy seat for me. Now you talk about assurance. You talk about confidence. He appears. But more than that, right now he appears. What does that mean? That means this, my friend, that we have one mediator. Mary's not a mediator for anybody. The priest on this earth, and whoever, their bishops, cardinals, or pastors, who are not mediators. They can't atone for your sins, and they can't be your advocate, and they can't be your priest, and they can't be your pleader with God. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible said. And Paul could challenge heaven, earth, and hell. He said, who can condemn me? Christ died. It's who died. Yea, rather, he's risen again, who is even at the right hand of God. That's the hand of acceptance, the hand of love, the hand of power, the right hand of God, who ever liveth right now to make intercession for me, for you, for every believer. He appears. He appeared to put away sin, the sacrifice of himself. He appears now in the presence of the Father to make intercession. Now, one more appearance. Hebrews 9:28. Do you have it? So Christ was once offered to bear the sin of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear. He's coming back the second time without sin unto salvation. Our Lord came to this earth one time in the flesh. He's going to come again in glory. He came once as a lion. He is a lamb. He's coming back as a lion. He came once as a Savior. He's coming back as a judge. He said, I'll be back. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And when he ascended to the Father, the angels stood there beside where he had stood. And they said to those apostles, ye men of Galilee, this same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. The Lord Jesus, Paul wrote in Thessalonians, shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on all them that know not God and all them that obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now his coming is going to signal the end of this earth and be a new heaven and a new earth. It's going to signal the resurrection of the dead. It's going to signal the final judgment. It's going to signal the beginning of eternity. I tell you, our Lord will appear. I'm looking for Christ. John closed the book of Revelation and he said, even so come, Lord Jesus. That's the way sin is put away. That's the way God can be just and justified. That's the way God can pardon all iniquity. Christ appeared to put it away. He appears to intercede. He will come again.